It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Second Amendment Radio, The Great Outdoors. Mark Cox here, along with my partner, Bo Matthews, and producer, Carl Middleman.
Go vote.
Go vote. We are just 2 days away, depending on what day you're listening to this broadcast, away from the biggest, most consequential election in United States history, in my opinion, in so many different ways. And there are so many gun owners and sportsmen out there that the statistics show us who aren't actively voting. They may be registered, but they never bother to go vote. Please don't make that be yourself be one of those. That would just be my plea on this weekend. Bo Matthews, what about you?
Mark, it baffles me how many people are not engaged because they're busy with families and jobs, and I get that, but how can you not at least check in on the Mark Cox Morning Show to get up on, you know, the latest stuff? And plus, you have a voter's guide on the website that is very helpful. It helped me, and I can say to you, and I've said it to you before, I don't agree with everything, but you did guide me and help me along the way, so I thank you for putting that service out there.
Sure.
And again, it's free. I was thinking about it. You got a plumbing problem? You call a plumber. You got an electrical problem, you call an electrician. You got a mechanical problem, you call a mechanic. This is the only thing you can do by yourself. You have to do, but this is your opportunity to let your voice be heard, and nobody else can do it for you. That's the beauty of it. I do want to mention this segment and this show is brought to you by Razorback Armory on Manchester Road, just a half mile east of 270. Number one in suppressor selection. If you've been wanting to suppress a firearm, go see Jesse and Brad and the crew there. They're going to get you started on the process. Get it while you can. Yeah. Check them out at RazorbackArmory.com.
I discovered something a few minutes ago that I did not know about one Bo Matthews. I just have to tell you that we've been working together for a few years now. What I did not know is the background that you now share in common with former and I believe soon to be future President Donald J. Trump. And what would that be, Bo
Matthews? We're both billionaires. No, I've never worked at McDonald's, but when I first moved to St. Louis, I was a trash man at Scott Air Force Base. I was a young buck and out there. I'd work on the radio all night long. Yeah. I was. And it's amazing, especially on a military base. I mean, so many young families, they just roll the whole thing right into their kitchen and that's their trash can. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Wow. Some of the best trolling of this political season took place the last few days after Joe Biden made the garbage comment. And Donald Trump rolled up to his rally in Wisconsin this week in a garbage truck. Listen to some of this.
But I just wanted to let you know that 250 million people, that's what I think the real number is for making America great again. 250 million, the real number. They don't think in terms of garbage, okay? They don't use terms like that. And it's a shame. And Joe Biden should be ashamed of himself if he knows what he's even doing. And she should be ashamed because she shouldn't let him do it. She's the vice president, but I assume she's acting as the president. She should never have let that happen. I hope you enjoyed this garbage truck. Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed my garbage truck. Did you ever say that to anyone, Bo?
No, I didn't. But here's the thing. It is so interesting to me that from the point that Joe Biden said what he did about garbage people, Groucho and everybody, that they had that garbage truck wrapped. How impressive was that? That they had it wrapped with his logo and everything. I was just, that was like 12 hours, but from the time Joe said it to the time Donald was in the truck. So
it was a quick turnaround. I got to get one of those vests that he wore during the rally because apparently it's slenderizing.
Okay, so I have to tell you Another level. Now, my granddaughters, twins, Jocelyn and Jillian, about 2 months ago sent me a picture and they had Trump 2024 written on their arms and their legs and everything. They just celebrated their 15th birthday, and Jillian, she went and got the Trump piercing that's the upper part of the ear, you know, for her birthday. That's what she wanted. She wanted the Trump piercing up in the upper. I thought, this is my granddaughter. I'm so proud of her.
Piercing so with, awesome. With an actual,
An earring.
An earring and not a 223, I'm assuming.
No, it's not. No. It's not a bullet in there, although I'm sure that's a thing possibly. But yeah, no, that's what she wanted up on the upper left, upper right hand ear. I thought that was pretty cool. That's why I sent it to you at 4:30 the other morning.
Yeah, no kidding. It was a great picture, too. I'm looking at this thinking, why did he send me a picture of his granddaughter's ear? And then I read the caption, so it made sense.
For all those fashionistas that have to have those upper ears pierced, well, now you might have it, and now you're a Trump supporter.
Yeah. You know what goes good with that ear piercing, Bo? Buying a ticket to your gun raffle.
You are such a good man. You are such a good man. Hey, we're coming down to the wire. We are only selling 300 of these tickets. This is to support the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. They are $100, but that ticket keeps you in for all 12 drawings. And I can tell you, there's Rugers and Smith and Wessons and Rock Islands and Mossbergs, Remingtons, Glocks, Kel-Tecs, all of these firearms. You can check out the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund Facebook page for details and message them or message me to get your ticket. Mark, you got one of these, right?
I did.
You did? Okay. Yeah. Anybody that wants one of these, there's only 300 being sold. You must be able to pass a background check.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Mark. We got your money, though. We don't care.
So thank you. It is an amazing selection of weapons for when you consider the fact that even if you were to win, for example, like Bo Matthews did last year.
Yeah.
I believe on the first drawing, wasn't it, Bo? Or was it the second?
Jealous.
Even if you're so to jealous, win, yes. Your name goes back in the hopper and you can win more than once. That's what makes that raffle unique and special. And I love it. Next week, we'll tell you more about my ATF raffle. Here's what's included in that package. We've got a fantastic firearm from the Range St. Louis West. It's a 9mm rifle, CMMG. It's beautiful. It's worth a couple of grand. That's one item that we're raffling off in addition to a cigar packages and, of course, a basket of bourbon. We'll have all the details on that coming up next weekend.
We are arming America with these fundraisers. So thank you very much for your participation. But man, I'll tell you, before we get deep into the show, we got to urge people to vote. You got to get out and vote. The scamming has already started up. You've seen the Pennsylvania reports. Is there scamming in Georgia? I saw. I don't know. Just make sure you get out and vote. You don't have to wait until Tuesday.
Yeah.
As you well know by listening to the Mark Cox Show.
There's no excuse. It'll be open this weekend on Saturday during the day in most cases, and again Monday. And, of course, Election Day is Tuesday. We'll be talking a lot more about that. Coming up, the first lady in Missouri to ever harvest an elk, and it's an epic story. We'll introduce you to Anna Budnick when we come back on Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh yeah, it's that time of the year again. You know how many times in my country music career I had to play that dang song?
That's Hubert.
And then as soon as you play it, the next phone call that comes in, hey, can you play the 30-pointer? Dang it, I just did.
They want to play it again maddening. And again, I'm sure.
Carl, play it again. No, I'm kidding.
I'll
totally
play it
kidding.
At the end of the segment.
Okay, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We honor those, our vets. We honor our military and first responders. We honor our hunters. And Anna Budnick is the first female hunter drawn for an elk tag in Missouri, and therefore the first woman ever to harvest an elk in Missouri. I saw this story, and I sent it right away to our illustrious producer, Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. There he is. There he is. And I'm looking at the picture right now. Anna, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. How are you guys?
We're so excited for you. We're excited for you. I mean, it's just massive. How long have you been hunting?
I've been hunting since I was 13, so it's been about 7 years now.
And what was your response when you were able to get the tag?
I was just in shock. My dad told me like mid-July, I guess, when he looked, and he was just checking, I guess, to see if he got it. And then he seen that I was successful, and he said he checked so late at night he could barely sleep. And he told me the next day, and I couldn't believe it. I never thought I'd get drawn for something like this, and then I did.
Wow. So a couple things that are surprising about this, Anna. Mark Cox here. As I looked, I had to look it up myself to see the picture of you behind this massive beast. First of all, where did you harvest it? And this was archery, correct?
Yes, this was archery. I got it with a crossbow, and this was in Shannon County, Missouri.
Okay.
Wow. She's not going to tell you exactly where. That's like giving away the fishing
No, wallet. No, I wasn't going to ask that. But so having never done that before, is that because that's where they tend to be, is in Shannon County or in that region of the state? Where is that exactly?
That is in southern Missouri, okay. Kind of where they were released in Peck Ranch. It's okay. Kind of in that general area still.
Just to give you an idea, yeah.
Yeah, in that experience, though, Anna, were you able to hunt anything and you just happened to have an elk tag, too? I mean, could you have shot a deer or not necessarily? You were only out for the elk.
I could have gotten a deer, too, with an archery that weekend, but I didn't have a tag for that, so I wasn't going to be able to hunt for deer, but I could have bought a tag for that as well, but I was just solely focused on elk for the weekend.
It's like that, hitting the lottery.
Yeah, no kidding. That's pretty cool. So kind of set that up for us, if you don't mind. Where did are you in a tree stand? I mean, how is it this like deer hunting from that standpoint? Is it best early in the morning, evening? And what's the thought process here? How does it differ from deer hunting?
Yeah, it's kind of pretty similar to deer hunting. Really, they're pretty active in the mornings and evenings, but they come out a little earlier in the evenings, and then in the mornings they stay out just a little later, but they are much more active during the day too. And I actually got my elk around 11 o'clock. So, you know, that's different from deer hunting where they might be bedding down during the day. The elk are still up and moving, or if you call them in, they might be willing to get out of their bed and come in midday.
Wow.
Well, I will say the photo looks photoshopped, number one, because I'll name drop. I went hunting on Ted Nugent's property and I got a 200-pound hog, but I made it look like it was a dinosaur. You know, it looked like it was huge. What did this weigh? Do you weigh it? Do you know how much it weighed? Did you backpack it out of the field? That's the other question.
So we actually got very lucky and it ended up running and dying right by the road. So we were able to get a truck right up to it and get it lifted onto our truck. So that was super, super lucky and crazy in itself. And we didn't get a weight from it yet, but I think at the meat processor, they said just weighing just the elk itself, they had already taken the head for the mount, and it was just 400 pounds of pure meat.
Wow. Anna, yes. Anna Budnick is our guest. She's the first woman drawn for an elk tag in Missouri and then harvested one this year. And the picture, I would never be so bold as to ask a woman her age, but I am going to ask your height, because in the picture, the rack on this elk looks taller than you.
Yeah, I think it was. So I am 5'4"
okay.
and standing up, and the elk was lying down, and his antlers were almost taller than me.
I could. It just looks. It's like Bo said. It's almost like it was. You staged it to look bigger than it was, but not really, because this animal is just absolutely massive.
And you can see this picture on the Missouri Department of Conservation's Facebook page. It is an amazing photo to be seen.
Yeah.
Who took the picture, Anna?
I believe that was my dad's photo.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
How do you beat that? What do you go after next? A bear or a unicorn? What is it going to be?
I don't even know. I feel like it's going to be so hard to beat that. So I never thought I'd get one this big either. So it's just been crazy. Man.
So, Anna, I have to ask. I've told the story on the show before, but many years ago, I went fishing and I caught a sailfish. And it happens to be like 72 inches long. The thing's huge. I decided to get it mounted. And now my wife doesn't want it anywhere than anybody can see it. So it's been marooned to the basement where nobody can see it. What are you mounting this elk's head, I'm assuming? And if so, where's it going to go?
Yes, I did decide that I would have to get it mounted.
And,
where it's going to go is still up for debate. It would look super good in our living room above our fireplace. We have this cool wooden panels, but it would be a little much, I think, for the living room. I don't think my mom would be a big fan. And honestly, I don't know how good it would look in there because it might just take up all the space.
Wow. Yeah, you when you get something like that, you're like, well, I've got to have some way to remember it. I want to get it mounted. And then you think about the size of it, and I'm sure it wasn't cheap to do it. You want to put it somewhere where people can actually see it, but it doesn't go just anywhere, right? I mean, unless you got a hunting lodge or
right.
something.
Right, for sure. I think when I get a feature house of my own someday, I'm going to have to kind of plan around that. Plan where I'm going to put it.
You know, I knew a guy that was a big game hunter, and he had a moose, and they actually had to screw in the antlers so they could move it in to the place that it was going to go to because the doors were too small, and then they screwed the things on. You know what I would be on the lookout for, Anna, is a phone call from Bass Pro, because they could possibly want to, you know, put you up on their wall and pay you big money for that. Would you even let it go, though?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's such a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I don't know if I could let it go maybe, like, for a year, if they want to keep it for a year. And then
ooh, smart.
Back,
smart.
But,
yeah, you can rent it.
Yeah, I don't think I could let it go forever.
It's a heck of a hat rack, for sure.
Yeah. You know, I know, Anna, we're moving into deer season. There's always everybody talks about the different kind of rounds they use if they're firearm hunting. Is that an issue when you're crossbow hunting with an animal that large? Did you have to use a bigger than normal crossbow or one that's more powerful than normal because of the size of the animal?
No, I just used the same one I would have used for deer season. I actually had to borrow my uncle's crossbow because I don't have one of my own, and he just uses it for regular deer season. I used the same broadheads he would have used for regular deer season, and yeah, it seemed to work. The same way.
That's fantastic. What a great
story. So is Uncle taking some of the credit for this since it was his?
maybe a little. I think he did.
Yeah, right.
He was actually with us the day that I got it. So he was kind of standing pretty far back and he couldn't really see what was going on. But it was pretty cool that he got to be there with us since he was a big part of me getting it with the crossbow.
That is what a great story, Anna. Something to remember for your whole life. That picture has got to go up on the wall and the desk and... Have you put it out all over social media? That's my question.
I just posted it on my pages, but it's definitely made its rounds. We stopped at a gas station on the way to the processor, and they had put a picture up, and that got a lot of likes. And then Missouri Department of Conservation put it up, and that got a bunch of people to see it.
Fantastic.
And in your opinion, and your family's opinion, was it a perfect shot right behind the shank or wherever you're supposed to hit it?
Yeah, well... It was actually kind of turned and quartering away when I took the shot, and I had to just take the shot right as it was starting to run, and I was aiming right where I should, but we didn't see any blood right away, and we're like, oh, goodness, this is not good. But then not long after, we see the actual elk, and it had died that quick, and it had actually hit a lung. So it did end up being a good shot.
A perfect shot.
That's awesome. Yeah. Anna, congratulations from all of us here at Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. So proud of you. Can't wait to see what's on your bucket list next for next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to see. I don't know how I can top this, though.
It's the truth.
You will.
Anna,
you will.
Anna Budnick, congratulations on the harvesting, being the first lady to harvest an elk in the state of Missouri. That's pretty awesome. We'll talk to you again. Thank you. Welcome back. You know, we got Veterans Day facing us down here before long. Time is flying by, no doubt about that. And, of course, we want to bring you up to date on a great parade that you can take part in downtown St. Louis. Mark Sunloff joining us from the Missouri History Museum, the Soldiers Memorial Military Museum's 41st Annual St. Louis Regional Veterans Day Parade is going to be Saturday, November 9th. And, Mark, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you very much for having me on today.
Oh, absolutely. Anything we can do for our veterans, we love to help with around here. And I'm thrilled and honored that we're able to get you on to gin up some interest in getting people downtown for this parade.
Yeah, you know, it's an excellent parade. It's a large variety of units that get involved with it, different civic organizations and whatnot. And certainly... it's our one day of the year, not that we don't celebrate our veterans all the time, but the one day that's kind of set aside to really celebrate veterans, those who have served, and of course our active military as well. So really encourage folks to come out for this.
Well, we are really glad to have you on. It's Bo here, Mark, and, you know, just so happy. You know, when I first moved to St. Louis in 88, I realized, man, this is a town of parades. They do parades for everything, but this, in my opinion, is one of the most important, as it is, the 41st annual St. Louis Regional Veterans Day Parade. And the reason we're giving you a week head start on planning, it's so you can plan to get your family together and come on down to the event. You know, most people are asking, one of the first questions is, what time does it start and what is the route so people can find a good viewing point for your parade? So if you could cover some of that.
Yeah, so the route is not incredibly long. It starts on 18th and Market, heads east towards the arch on Market Street, and then turns up 14th, takes a quick left on right on the Chestnut there, and it passes right in front of Soldiers Memorial. So, I encourage people to be somewhere around Soldiers Memorial. It's a great viewing stand. That's where the Grand Marshal is positioned, and the reviewing stand is positioned. So right there on Chestnut by Soldiers Memorial or anywhere along Market between 14th and 18th are excellent locations to watch the parade. We have a number of things that soldiers, you know, for families, we'll have a small sign making station so the kids can come by and make little signs and hold up for those passing by. Yep. Yeah.
What time should everybody get down there? Sorry, Mark. Time should everybody get down there, do you think?
I'm sorry, it steps off at 10:30, so, you know, anytime around 10 or a little bit after 10, you get your spot in line there and watch the parade. So it lasts about an hour, so it's not, you know, incredibly long. It's just a small, nice way to pay respect and honor those who have served.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, and I would encourage, on a side note, our radio station sits right across the street from the Soldiers Memorial there, and it's an impressive building. They updated it a few years ago, and I got to go over and take a tour of it. And it's something that everybody who honors our veterans, but more than that, if you're a student of history, it's something you need to go see.
Yeah, absolutely. That $30 million renovation that occurred between 2016 and 2018 took care of a lot of deferred maintenance and whatnot. It's an absolutely stunning building. And the exhibits inside tell the story of St. Louis and service all the way from the Revolutionary War all the way up through today. And also right now we have a temporary exhibition called the Ghost Army, the Combat Con Artists of World War II. That's in our temporary exhibition gallery. It's an incredible story of deception that we used in France right after the landing at D-Day. It's a remarkable story that was classified for a long time, but now it's free. So after the parade, certainly step into Soldiers Memorial, see the building itself, but then also explore those exhibitions.
Well, the new Ghost Army exhibit, is this the inflatables that I've been seeing on social media, like the inflatable tanks and stuff? And is that, if that's true, do you have any on display, or did they save any of those?
Yeah, so the inflatables is one part of the Ghost Army. So you're spot on there. They're, as far as we know, there are no more existing original inflatables, but there are reproductions in the exhibit. There, we have a reproduction inflatable tank and a 105 millimeter howitzer in the exhibition. That was
genius.
Part of the they approached deception from multiple angles, and that's what they called the visual deception component. Then they got into sonic deception and radio spoofing. And some other finer detail deception work that they were, you know, convincing the Germans that our fighting forces were in locations where we actually weren't.
Yeah, I love that. Love those stories. That's fantastic. We are talking to Mark Sunlove with the Missouri History Museum and Soldiers Memorial Military Museum's 41st annual Regional Veterans Day Parade coming up Saturday, November 9th. Just as a reminder, you can go to mohistory.org/memorial to get more information. Tell us a little bit more, Mark, about the Grand Marshal and some of the other groups that will be taking place.
Yeah, so this year the Grand Marshal is Lieutenant General Jared P. Helwig. He's the Deputy Commander of U.S. Transportation Command. Sometimes I don't think folks realize, but Scott Air Force Base is home to U.S. Transcom. It's one of 11 unified commands under the Department of Defense. And, you know, if the military, any branch, is moving something, whether it's people, material, resources, whatnot, U.S. Transcom is a part of that. Every time you see something moving on the news for the military, U.S. Transcom is probably behind it. And so their deputy commander, Lieutenant General Helwig, will be the Grand Marshal, and he'll be on the reviewing stand there for us. So really proud and honored to have him taking part. The parade itself is filled with all different kinds of units, many high school junior ROTC units. It's outstanding to see the young men and women of the country who are, you know, going through high school and developing ideas of serving our country and getting that experience. So they'll definitely be in the parade. Lots of the civic organizations. One of my favorites is there's some fun aspects to this too, is the Banana Bicycle Brigade, which is some really super creative folks who deck out their bicycles and some pretty wild decorations. They're a part of it. Lots of the vehicle clubs, the Corvette clubs, the Model A and Model T clubs, they all take part. So a lot of variety and different components to the parade.
Well, Mark, we have a note here that says veterans are invited to march in uniform, because people that attend a parade to see it, they're like, man, this just all came together in 20 minutes. But if people want to come down in uniform, my daughter just did a career day with her U.S. Army uniform on this week. And I'm so proud of her because she served her 3 tours in Iraq.
Yeah.
But if people want to be in the parade, what do they need to do? Just show up?
We do have a registration process. You know, it's parades get a little complicated, the lineups and getting people into the spots where they need to be. But certainly any veteran who wants to don the uniform and march in the parade, they can contact us let us know that they're going to be there, and we'll get them in.
Yeah. Or just be the spectator with your uniform on. That'd be cool, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Mark, we appreciate your time. And, of course, we always want to honor our vets. Best of luck with that. If you can show up for the Veterans Day Parade, it is Saturday, November 9th. If you get down here to the Soldiers Memorial area, maybe around 9:30, 9:45, 10 a.m., you should be in place just in time for the parade. So go to mohistory.org/memorial for more details on that. And, Mark, thanks for all you do.
Hey, thank you guys very much. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Love those people that still preserve, you know, the reenactors and the preserving of the history of this country is just amazing. I also think it's a good idea for anybody that's thinking, if you're a junior or senior in high school, to go see this, to go see what's going on, see what's happened before.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. All right. So it is veteran segment here as we are approaching closer and closer to Veterans Day. We want to invite another special guest in who can help people that maybe are suffering from PTSD and other things, first responders or military. So we're going to get John Lanius on here. Hey, John, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Always a pleasure to talk to you on the phone, and we finally found a reason to get you on the show. And Mark, just settle down. This is a brush of greatness, man, that we're talking with, John Lanius. And I guess, you know, he's got a radio career behind him, but there's so much more to this guy. This guy, you know, I called Jim Allen, my buddy that I went hunting with, Ted Nugent's place, name drop, he's the big onion. John is also the big onion because there's many layers to this man. And he's always got a positive spin and a positive program that he's working with. So, John, we want to talk about that. Now, should I name drop now? Because that was the most impressive thing when I first met you.
Yeah, sure. I know where you're going to go, and we can talk about that. Go ahead.
Just briefly. yeah. Chuck Norris got his butt kicked by John Lanius. I'm kidding. I'm kind. No, he trained with Steven Seagal. But have you ever met Chuck? That's what I'd be interested to find out.
Yes, I've met Chuck. I've met Sonny Chiba. I've met probably all the luminary martial arts that you would know from the 70s and the 80s. And just really quick, yeah, I mean, for 10 years in the 90s, I trained with Steven Seagal all around the world. That's there's a lot of controversy around him. I also burned incense for him, which seems a little non sequitur, but you know, he was always very nice to me, but I could see the other stuff under the surface. And when I would go to work for the government later on, in short, the government was like, look, don't talk to him anymore if you want to keep working for us. Not a joke. And they wouldn't tell me why. And I wouldn't learn till later of his involvement in the Russian mafia and his involvement in a whole bunch of other stuff. And so, long story short, yes, I am associated, but I am literally 20 years removed from that. But, you know, heck, why not? That's all name drop.
we're just doing that.
John, Mark, that's here. I feel like we've jumped ahead in the storyline a little bit. Maybe set up for people how you ended up working with him and how it led to the Special Operations Charity Network years later.
Yeah, sure. So when I was 9 years old, I started studying two things, martial arts and world fragrance traditions, specifically world incense traditions. And I know when you say the word incense, people think of the 60s. They might conjure up images of dirty hippies and lots of smoke in the air. But that's not the case at all. I mean, I have done incense. I'm not going to name drop anymore, but I have done what's referred to as Kodo, the way of incense in the Japanese tradition, which doesn't use any smoke at all. It's actually the most potent form of aromatherapy. And so also when you hear the word aromatherapy, you might think it's a little woo-woo or whatever, but just think for a moment. Think of how your favorite fragrances in the world make you feel, whether that's fresh bread, whether that's your favorite flower, whether that's your favorite cologne or perfume. It is a way to really control your emotions, how you see the world, how you feel about the world. And I've been doing this for over 42 years. I started studying at 9, and then at age 13, I took formal instruction under a Japanese master of incense and became a komoto, which is the equivalent of a tea master, but for the Japanese incense ceremony, which goes back in its codified form 500 years, but can be traced all the way back to 1400 years ago when Japan inherited Buddhism and other types of philosophy.
Wow.
Hey, John, is it anything like, anything in the world? Like, is there advancements in this incense journey? Do they discover new things even now, or is it still all 5,000 years old stuff?
Well, no, that's a really great point, Bo. So when you look at the philosophy around how we smell as human beings, not our body odor, but how we actually take in fragrances, there's the shape theory, and then there's the frequency and vibration theory, meaning that we know that everything vibrates in our physical world in order to exist. Raise or lower that vibration, then it dissipates. And so where I'm using very much, you know, informed by the 6,000-year history and tradition of, of the use of incense from the written history of incense. Now what we're able to do is we're able to combine psychology and neuroscience and other developments in different types of molecules to really control, again, our emotions, how we regulate, how we bring back memories. Because our memory is a wonderful thing. It tells us who we are, but it also tells us who we are. So when we start thinking about transforming, when we start thinking about becoming more, learning more, you know, really growing as a person, the way of fragrance is a very powerful way to do that, because it'll bring back memories from the past. Some of those memories could be limiting. And so as you transform those things, whether it's a bad relationship from before, whether it's some of the work that I do with the Special Operations Charity Network, which relates to the Find Your Tribe initiative, I work with veterans and first responders in actually reducing the trauma that people feel from things that they've experienced.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, simplifying it greatly, it is amazing when you stumble across something that brings back a memory, triggers something from your childhood. It happens not all the time, but it's just something most of us, I think, John, don't think about, right?
Yeah, and the reason why we don't think about it is because of how our sense of smell works. In that, when you smell something new, within about 15 to 30 seconds, depending on how strong it is, it becomes invisible to you.
Yes.
In the same way that when you walk into your house after a vacation, that's the best time to figure out how your house smells, because when you're living inside of it, from a philosophical standpoint, you don't smell your life.
Nose blind.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing with the giant sweat socks hanging around the kid's bedroom. Yeah, that's true. You know, to say all that, John, is wonderful, because there is an opportunity that people can experience this in person, and not just this time, because you do it often. But the thing is, when people are struggling, they are struggling to find something that can help, and you have a way to bring this all together.
Yes. So Thursday, November 7th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., we're going to be doing the incense journey. Again, no smoke, but the incense journey is going to happen at Yenology, which is in Frontenac. So it's 903 South Limburg Boulevard. But if you just go to their website, yen-ology.com, you're going to be able to sign up for a two-hour guided journey that I will take you through. We're going to use natural fragrances. You're going to find deep clarity, relaxation, and also emotional healing. This is done in a group, but it is such a cool experience. Like I said, there's been so many numerous people in the world that have experienced this over the past 30 years that I've been doing this. This also is support for mental health. And so this is some of the work that I do, again, at the Special Operations Charity Network. So all of this combines together. But if you, again, go to yen-ology.com, get yourself signed up for the incense journey on Thursday, November 7th.
One last question. Was Steven Seagal really as bad in person as he was in the movies?
So here's the thing. Steven Seagal, at his height, knew what he was doing. I mean, very, very powerful, very deadly. Sometimes, you know, Aikido gets a bad rap because there is a lot of bad Aikido in the world, to be quite honest. And so what I enjoyed about Seagal in the 90s was that he was doing an art called Gojuru Aikido, which means hard, soft style. In other words, he only wanted to use stuff that actually worked. Now, when you start getting into Hollywood and the ego and all of that, I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are, and also how well you're trained, is that, you know, you only get about 15 to 20 seconds of really good energy. And so there's a lot to Seagal, but back in the 90s, he was the real deal.
Good.
Maybe not so much now.
John, thanks for that insight. I appreciate it.
And really, Mark, let's just say this. We're all about the same age, I'm guessing. And I mean, I was a huge fan of Bruce Lee when I was a kid. I mean, I it was awesome to see that. But yeah, it's kind of cool to see and talk to a guy that, you know, you were battling this guy. You battled some of the best that are out there. So you've got street cred in my book, John, and I'm really proud to have you on the show finally. And I do want to ask this question. This is a group session you're going to do at Yenology in Frontenac. Do you do private sessions for clients as well with the incense?
Yeah, so I do something called the personal incense journey. And the personal incense journey is you and I sitting across from each other. We get dialed in on the things that you want to be working on. And so what, okay. And what I'll do is in the first hour, you go through a number of fragrances that calm and center the mind. The last half hour of the experience, I share with you an incense. And this is not a joke when I tell you this. This incense costs anywhere between $1,500 and $3,500 a gram.
Wow.
But, right.
Wow. I don't mean to cut you off, but if people want to find you for a personal session, where do they go? Real quick.
They can just go to shihanwellness.com. So S-H-I-H-A-N wellness.com. Shihanwellness.com.
Awesome. Awesome. He's legit. John Lanius, thank you so much for joining us. And that is the wrap of the show. If I'm not correct, I am correct. Yes, this is the wrap of the show. I'm so confused.
What kind of incense you've been sniffing over there, Bo?
Yeah, right? It's called baked beans.
I'm just kidding. All right. That's going to do it for this edition.
John, thank you.
Yep, that's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll see you next weekend. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.